Welcome to the Wedlake Bell Legal Podcast, covering a range of legal topics, including updates from our four practice groups: private client, real estate, business services, and dispute resolution.
Everyone, this is Tricia Sadiq, Family Law Specialist at Wedlake Bell Solicitors. I'm very excited today to be joined by our special guest, Nicola Withcombe. She's from Kids Come First, a wonderful organisation that helps parents going through separation or divorce to be the best parents they can be and to support their children and to focus really on how they can co-parent with each other. So I'm going to hand over to Nicola to explain a little bit more about Kids Come First, how she got involved, and a bit more about her. So Nicola, so good to have you today here with us.
Morning, Tricia. Thank you for inviting me. It's always good to talk about the work that we do at Kids Come First. And if you'd like me to give you a little bit of background as to how we founded ourselves, I'm one of the co-founders, two of us involved in Kids Come First. And it was round about 10 years ago or so that I first started working in family mediation. And over the period that I worked in family mediation, I developed a growing concern, I suppose, about firstly, the high number of divorces that seem to happen in the UK. I think on average, we look at around about 120,000 divorces. And that's not, of course, taking into consideration anyone who's co-parenting, just cohabiting, not actually married. The next thing I think that I became really concerned about was a really important factor was how many cases ended up in the family courts. And of course, the family courts are not particularly family friendly and don't necessarily offer a meaningful resolution for parents in the long term. So we also were very aware of the fact that at that stage, there was very little in the way of specialist support for separating parents. And we wanted to develop a program which was very multifaceted, that could deliver the kind of training and the kind of support for parents in a much more bespoke way that was individualized, I suppose, for every unique family. I suppose the other principle that we really wanted to get on board was all about the idea of positive co-parenting and the importance of that, and also to highlight the experiences of children, which is really important, of course.
Thank you, Nicola. I mean, certainly I find as a family solicitor who assists clients going through children proceedings, that it's the lack of information that's out there. It's the lack of knowing that actually before I go to court, you know, let's try for the sake of our children to see if we can resolve matters in an amicable way. And how can we achieve that? So certainly I know that lot of my clients have found it beneficial to find out, you know, and go and see if they can find that additional support. Because as you say, it's about the long-term impact, isn't it? The emotional impact and, you know, trying to do the absolute best that we can to reduce the conflict between parents in the best interest of the child.
Very much so. I mean, I think all of us who work in the field of family justice, shall we say broadly, understand that it's conflict that has the biggest impact on children. So whatever that conflict means, it's important to address how we can de-escalate that conflict and how we can help minimize the sort of damage that's caused to everyone in that process. And it is very much about also trying to normalize the process because of the high number of divorces. We like to deliver our support for parents at the earliest possible opportunity. So some parents come and see me in the first sort of 6 months of their separation and some even earlier, which is very encouraging. But then again, there are also parents who come and see me when they've been divorced for 10 years, and there may be some specific things that they've identified that perhaps they wish they'd done in a different way. So it's never too late to open up that dialogue with the other parent and to review from a child focused perspective what you can do differently. Naturally, we want to keep as many parents as possible out of the family courts because, as I said, it's not the place to be. And in most cases, even family court judges will recognise that it escalates the conflict, adds a lot more fuel to the fire. So you have a limited, let's say, chance of actually having a good co-parenting relationship if you end up in the courts for a long period of time. So I believe in estimation that about 90% of of matters that end up in the family courts are issues that are not insurmountable for parents to actually resolve in that way. But I think it's important to say that what really underpins our work is those principles about the needs and rights of children to have good relationships with each of their parents. Of course, there are safeguarding aspects sometimes, but we're not necessarily dealing with that. But also, I seek to always drive home the sort of parental responsibility, saying that you need to facilitate that relationship for your child with the other parent, and going one step further to even encourage that relationship in the best possible way that you can, putting all your personal conflict aside, which is not easy, of course, for any parent to do, especially in the early stages. So guidance is very much needed in trying to de-escalate any of the conflict from the earliest possible stage.
Absolutely. And certainly I know that when people have come to see me, their initial feeling is the situation is impossible. I hear that said to me often. And, you know, she or he won't agree. It's pointless. You know, I think we have to go through court. And often that's a very common feeling. You know, obviously emotions are very raw as at the point of separation. And what I say is that give it a go. Don't at least try the process, because, you know, certainly I find that after people have calmed down, you know, and actually thought about the process, that do they really want to engage through court? Most people will say, no, I don't want to. I'd much rather try to find a resolution. But they want to find means and ways to do that that's not necessarily through lawyers. So what's really important to understand is that absolutely you can get legal advice, and that is something that is available. But alongside that, you know, we can work with Nicola and we can work with Kids Come First. A lot of my clients have. I know you've assisted my clients and they've had some brilliant results. We've managed to successfully avoid court applications. Everybody acknowledges that, you know, there are some applications for welfare reasons or others that will need to go to court. But even if you are in the court process, that still doesn't mean that you can't try to mediate, trying to, you know, have resolution, try to engage in a procedure where you can be the best parents you can be. So we've touched already, Nicola, upon sort of the main aims of Kids Come First. But if we just talk a little bit more about, you know, how does it help parents who are going through divorce? I mean, how do you find in your experience it's helped parents?
Well, I think one of the reasons why, as I say, we're very multifaceted in the way in which we work is that I honestly believe, like most things in the world, knowledge is power. One of the things that we aim to do is to empower separated parents. And just coming back to that point you made about the sort of family courts and avoiding that process, again, there seems to be this knowledge, this misconception that once you're in the family courts, you're kind of stuck there. And yeah. I'm very keen on trying to give parents that knowledge that actually, no matter what stage you're at, you can pull back from that. The power is yours as parents. And I feel that there's a lot of kind of handing over of that power that doesn't necessarily need to happen for parents. But I often say sort of about the mediation processes that sometimes parents seem to feel that by taking matters into mediation, they're kind of giving away, they're asking someone else to make that decision for them, which is it's not necessarily relevant in that. And they need to understand that, you know, these are their children and they need to retain that power. I think firstly, when you're going through a divorce, there is an emotional process. And I think, you know, by empowering parents, helping them build that sort of emotional resilience, going through the challenging process they're going through, explaining some of those factors are really important, because I'm often really quite astonished actually by the lack of understanding of the emotional process on a sort of loss cycle. Not many people seem to understand the process they're going through. Mm-hmm. Helping them understand that is really important. Of course, it's really important for them to be able to identify what's happening for their children, the responses and behaviours they might be coming up against. And so the training program helps them identify all of those things. So everything is underpinned by the training. And I think, you know, that's the beauty of it, is that it's about support, but it's also about giving knowledge. And that's where I think it opens up a lot for parents. We explain, you know, or explore how you can resolve and avoid conflict, which, of course, is a really important point. And we use a very, I like to always highlight that actually although there is an emotional process, there is also, in a sort of guided way, there's a strategic and methodical approach that you can adopt towards mm-hmm. and through your divorce. And if you kind of follow some of those steps in the best possible way, you can achieve a much smoother outcome, and you can, of course, save yourself mountains of money and time and emotional energy by kind of, you know, stepping back from some of those legal adversarial processes and mm-hmm. being a little bit more aware of the holistic kind of overview of what's happening. So I think we're putting the focus squarely on children, which also happens to help parents deflect from their own kind of energy, I suppose, in that way. It's definitely promoting better co-parenting. And as you say, it's guiding a more collaborative pathway, which is, of course, what we're all aiming to do. And especially when no-fault divorce comes in, hopefully there will be many more people on board with that idea than ever before. So giving toolkits, I suppose, and the way in which we work, because it's so bespoke, gives a unique toolkit to every parent. I don't believe that any of my workshops are ever identical. There may be some similarities between situations, but there is never any, you know, one complete.
Yes. You know, every family is different, and, you know, the children are different, the needs are different, and the parents are different. So it's good to know it's a bespoke service. So if, as a parent, when they approach Kids Come First, what are the options that are available in terms of workshops and guidance? If you can tell us a little bit more about that. And what I would also like to know is, there are some parents perhaps out there who feels, well, I would be prepared to engage in the process. I don't know if he or she will, the other co-parent. What would you say to them? That is it still worthwhile engaging in the process with you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, by virtue of the fact that you're separated, you're now having to focus on your solo parenting as much as co-parenting. And co-parenting doesn't happen overnight. It's not a flip of the switch. It's a learned process, especially if you've had a difficult separation. And it's also about what happens pre-separation as much as it is about post-separation, particularly for children, if you've had a number of years where you've had a lot of difficulties. I think it's true to say that the forum coming into Kids Come First in the first place provides a very safe and confidential space for parents. And that's important because it's away from all of those other processes like the legal side. It's a completely different kind of space. It has a different atmosphere, different feeling. So it's a place where they can discuss their concerns about their children and discuss any concerns about the parenting aspects of their separated relationship. I think also it's really important for them to have a knowledge that I'm a completely impartial, neutral person who doesn't represent any parent's agenda. I only represent the thoughts and feelings of children. So it's very non-judgmental in that way. Parents come and they're incredibly transparent about all kinds of things when they talk to me. So it's a neutral advisor. I think that's important, that role. So parents can come and see me. And I guess a lot of my work initially is based on solo workshops for each parent. I don't always get to meet the other parent, depending on what's going on. If there is an ongoing court process, I always encourage each parent to share the information right from the beginning, right from that first email response. I encourage them to share the information with the other parent, whether that's via their own communications or through their own legal counsel, to try to open up that dialogue and to say to the other parent, look, I'm always willing to talk to you. Do you want to, you know, would you like to engage in this forum, which is very child focused? So they come on a solo basis and get some support and get some training. And then if I get to meet the other parent and they do the same training and there's a framework, shall we say, a nice foundation that we've laid, then they come and see me together to open up the dialogue about whatever's most pertinent at that time, whether it's talking to their children about separation, whether it's discussing a parenting plan, whatever the needs are, they can then bring it into the forum and we can discuss everything that is in the interests of their children within the ages of their children. Naturally, different ages of children need different things. You're never going to suggest that a two-year-old has a week with one parent and a week with the other. It's all underpinned by the ages of children and what their needs are. which of course is incredibly important, because there needs to be a really good perspective on how you manage that, you know, what children need at different ages.
Absolutely. I mean, I know we, as lawyers, we talk a lot about parenting plans. And I think it's quite important to understand that the parenting plan can be as detailed as you want it to be. So it's not just about how much time does your children spend with mum or dad. It can deal with much more specific issues to your family. So if your child has extra needs, other matters that need to be considered, or if you want to deal with the communication between you both as co-parents, sometimes what I have found is that in co-parenting plans you can address that, and it's a good reference point to go back to if there are disputes later on, to say, well, okay, we address this and we agree, this is what we agreed. So really sort of putting down the parameters of what you both see as the future, as a co-parenting healthy relationship, and also to understand that there's got to be flexibility in that as well. You know, some people are quite rigid about, you know, this is what the parenting plan is going to be. But the reality is that, you know, children's needs, inevitably even parents' lives, are going to change from, you know, year to year. As they get older, you're going to have to revisit that. You're going to have to look at it again and, you know, make some tweaks perhaps here and there so that it works in the best interest of your family. So, you know, as I said, you know, I think it's wonderful that you work with parents to try to help them to agree that parenting plan, because it really does. It's a process that works so well. So how can people find you, Nicola, and how do you help people, particularly during the lockdown and sort of pandemic? Now we're coming out of that, but a lot of people are still preferring to have online meetings. How can people find you, and can workshops be carried out online?
Absolutely. At this stage, I'm still working completely remotely via Zoom. I haven't seen any negative factors when it comes to working remotely. In fact, I think in many cases where joint sort of consultations are happening via Zoom, it's easier actually for parents in some respects, maybe not to be actually physically in the same room. So I continue to work that way, which also allows me to be more productive than moving around to different centres as I used to do. I just wanted to just come back very quickly to the point that you made about the sort of parenting plan idea, just to say that, you know, in the very early days of separation, it's not necessary to put together anything that's incredibly detailed. I work with parents very much about the sort of core value stuff. Mm-hmm. Just putting down some really, you know, solid core values and principles that you want to continue with. And then you develop that. Because, and for very good reason, many parents, when they separate in the early stages, they want their communications to be quite boundaried sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Different parents want different sort of co-parenting models. So as I said, it's something you have to build up to, and you may not necessarily ever want to really have the most allied relationship as parents, but what your children generally need is to know that you have a good enough co-parenting relationship, ultimately, that you have the right kind of communications that always take their interests into account. And that's fundamentally what you're aiming for, is good information sharing. I think is really also very fundamental. And I put communication and information sharing in two different kinds of areas, if mm-hmm. you like. So yes, parents can get in touch by looking firstly at our website, if they like, which is kidscomefirstuk.co.uk, or they can send an email to kidscomefirstuk@mail.com. And then we send out a sort of a standard response, which tells you all about our workshops and how we work and what you can expect. I always send out information to parents in advance of them coming to see me. They get a copy of our book and various bits of information so that they have a little bit of understanding if they have some time to do some reading. And then after each meeting, I also send more information over via email to actually give lots and lots of knowledge, shall we say, about different topics that we've discussed. So again, it's about looking at all of our research and giving specific bespoke knowledge to whatever we've discussed in those workshops. And a lot of what I share gives a bit of an overview, I suppose, about the needs and rights of children and those parental responsibilities that we discussed. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they've always got all of those things that actually help them with that framework of knowledge.
That's brilliant. And as we said, the sooner after separation that you can try to work towards those goals of co-parenting, I think the more successful the process can be. But as we also said, that, you know, don't feel disheartened if you are feeling that, you know, the other co-parent won't engage. Do focus on yourself as a parent as well, because it can change things, can't it? The way that you approach matters can also change the response that the other co-parent has. And I think it's wonderful, the service that you provide, Nicola, and I do hope that more people engage in this, and let's try and keep more cases outside of the family justice system, particularly when it is under a lot of strain at the moment with the ongoing, you know, pandemic and a lot of delayed hearings. It's far better to try to achieve an amicable and negotiated resolution between the parents, because at the end of the day, it's your children, and, you know, you are best placed to be able to make the decisions for them as co-parents.
Absolutely.
Nicola, thank you so much for speaking to me today.
It's been lovely.
Grateful to you.
Yes, lovely. Thank you so much.
Look forward to speaking again. Take care.
Thank you.
You just listened to the Wedlake Bell Legal Podcast. If you liked our episode and want to know more, then check out our website, www.wedlakebell.com. Wedlake Bell. Building relationships is at the heart of everything we do.